I want to pick up a line of thought where we were at last week, dealing with victory in the valleys. Man, we sang songs all around this today. And it's really amazing how the songwriters, I don't think that they mean to do this, and I'm not knocking any of the songs or anything because I think they're really great. But one of the songs that we were singing is, "You make all things work together for my good." Anybody else know the other half of that verse? According to his purpose. He makes all things work together for his purpose. See, if we make it about us, we make salvation about us. Salvation is for us, but it's not about us. Salvation is about a relationship with the Father for the whole world. And when we get saved, if we don't see it's for us, and then there's a divine purpose that we tap into, what we end up doing is we make it about ourselves, and then we don't worry about anybody else. We don't join the story. We don't be that living epistle as Paul was writing about, or the fragrance of Christ among those who are lost, or that light on a city or on a hill for all to see. We don't join the story if we just make it about ourselves. So what we have to do is, when we think about our valleys, nobody likes a valley. And there's a lot of different types of valleys. We talked about this last week. We have sickness and death and poverty. And poverty may not be that you have no money. It just might be you just don't have enough to do all the things you want to do. And it creates this stress. I said last week, one of the biggest things that it tends to create a lot of problems in marriages is dealing with money. And it's this poverty mindset that can get in there. Dealing with addictions and sinful consequences, and there's so many things that we create. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to destruction. And that sinful consequence of our sinful actions, our sinful choice, can create a valley. The actions of others. Oh my goodness, TV is just full of just hatred. And we see one side against another, and folks, there is the only thing that they need is Jesus. I'm telling you, the body of Christ needs to wake up and be a people of the text and know what the Father's heart is. But actions of others has created so much, and then our media just feeds on it. Just, it's horrible. Anyway, don't want to get off on all that. Spiritual dry places or valleys. You ever felt that just, my goodness, you're just in a dry place? And a lot of that place is because when things are going great, we tend to back off from God. We don't read our Bible. We're not devoted to time in prayer. We're not devoted to worship. And we're sowing those seeds of apostasy, that falling away. We sow those seeds in our life, and then we end up in a place where we're in a dry place. And that's a valley. Disputes, arguments with your loved ones, your kids, all this stuff and the arguments on the job, just any dispute at all, it just weighs us down and it just taxes us. And all of that is a valley. Unforgiveness is a valley. Someone harms you. And some of the unforgiveness, I'm telling you, it will take a mighty act of God for some folks to forgive the actions of others. But that's a valley. And my point in all of this is all that creates fear and stress and anxiety and so many other things. But as we saw last week, wherever we're at, whatever the valley, whether you're in a valley, whether you've just been out of a valley, or you, if you're breathing, there is a valley for you coming up, and it's all part of the divine process. God is with you. God is with you. I gave you a homework assignment in Romans 8:31-39. It's actually in the bulletin, a piece of it there. And it starts out, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And it goes through all of these valleys, all of these things. Shall anything separate us? And it ends there, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He is with us. Now here's the thing. Some would say, oh, you missed it. We're not going to have a valley. I'm a Christian. This is what Jesus told his disciples. Now, they were some big old boys. Now, look, if you go and do what the disciples were up to, then you come and tell me I have no valleys, then I'll listen to you. Jesus said this, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart." Take heart. There's a lot to be said about taking heart. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Why would he say take heart? That I've overcome. How does that tie into there will be troubles in this world? It's because He knows the Father is with us. Take heart. Have the right perspective. Let me put it this way. We need to define our victory. So many times we cannot see through this issue because we are defining our victory the wrong way. We'll take Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So a guy lays on a bench and he tries to press 350 pounds. And as it's coming down on his chest, he says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the wrong application of that text. That is wrong. That is picking and choosing. That's one of the most immature things for us to do is to take the text out of context. And it's hard for us to see the big picture when we're trying to find victory. Look, folks who have cancer, we're praying for healing. But what is the victory? I know what we say, healing. Yeah, that's marvelous. Bless God, just like what we just praised God over for Deborah Kiplinger. Thank God for that. But there's something else going on. Let me put it to you this way. And I put it in my notes at the last minute. Let me just read this. It was one of those last, this is one of those little, I've been adding in and taking out things. Define your victory. It's hard to see the big picture when you're right in the middle of a valley. We're in a valley all pressed down and we say, why me? Why me, God? The other night, in the middle of the night, we got called to the hospital in the wee hours of the night. Tripp was in loads of pain. And he said, I just want to be anointed with oil. We get there and he is crying out before the Lord and he's telling God how much he loves him and just saying, God, heal me and strengthen me and take this pain from me. He never said, why me? But he did say, God, how can I do this? And I thought that was a wonderful question. So many times we get into that why me, we draw a circle around ourselves and we say, God, why me? But what we should be saying, Lord, how can I make it through this? Because that's where his word comes and his truth of his word says, I am with you. Whatever our result is driven toward is what we're going to end up finding. If we're all about ourselves, you may suffer forever in a day and have this overwhelming feeling. I put this in here about Joseph. I was thinking about this early this morning. Either my bladder woke me up or the Lord did. But sorry, don't let me be graphic. Y'all just know I'm real, right? So I was up and walked to the bathroom and walking back and I heard this voice. I heard this text as I went to bed last night thinking about this sermon, and I heard this, you intended it to harm me, but God used it for his glory. And then I found this truth. It's in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Do y'all know this story? I taught on this not long ago about Joseph. You know, Joseph, young boy, has these dreams, goes and just out of pure immaturity, he goes and tells his brother very cockily or whatever you want to say in that. I just read it that way and gives him all this stuff and basically says, I'm going to be better than you or I am better than you. Well, you know the whole story. He gets thrown into a pit. They're going to kill him, but he gets sold into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He is then lied about. He's thrown into prison. I mean, all of these are valleys, horrible valleys, but he gets to the end of it. And you know the whole story. After all this time, his brothers come to him and then they didn't even know who he was. And he tells them at the very end of the story, because it's only just a couple more verses before we see his death and then the end of Genesis. He told his brothers this, and this is the perspective of a valley. You intended to harm me. All those valleys, all those things that you started and all those other things that happened, all of that was intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And folks, you need to circle that one because that same thing that's happening in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 is still the same thing that's working and operating in this planet today. It's about our perspective. What do we see? Now let's move on. So let me say this. Here's the other side of that verse. God uses, or let's put it this way, God redeems our valleys for his purpose. It's through the victory or through that process that there's a revelation of Christ. We don't always get to the end of the process and then hold up a sign and said, this victory was paid for and all by Jesus Christ. You know, this message was sponsored or what. We don't get to that. The people are watching us. How are you walking through the valley of the Spirit? How are you handling that? That reveals a victorious mentality. Now, we're going to peel this back even more. Before we know that all things work for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And we have to understand his purpose. Because if we think it's all about our good, well, there's so much carnality within me, it may not be God's purpose and the things that are good for me and God's divine purpose. I mean, you can choose, pick and choose in this, but if Jesus Christ sits on the throne of your heart and he's the Lord of your life, then aren't the good things about him and God's divine purpose? That's not a popular message. And it's hard for us to see that. So we need to see the valleys a little bit clearer. And so last week we dealt with, we're dealing with four things here. The process of revealing his victory. Because really that's what it comes down to. We're revealing this victorious love of Christ through and to a hurt and dying world. Last week we talked about valleys or places of revelation and growth. They are, and I shared a little bit of my testimony with you about just how God transformed issues and things of my life. There was this revelation of who he is, and then we grow, and then we learn in that God is with us. God is with us. Last week we dealt with this story of Jehoshaphat. Remember, do y'all remember this? And how they were under attack. Anyway, this whole story, I'll just hit the highlights. They were under attack and alarmed. They knew that they needed God. They remembered who God is and what he had done. They remembered that they are part of this story because God has this divine story for Israel. God gave them specific instructions. Now listen, sometimes we can read those instructions where you're never going to have to fight Israel. Folks, listen, sometimes you're going to have to fight. But whatever you got to walk through, God's with you. This one for them. I mean, don't you think that wouldn't have been nice for Joshua to have known, hey, I didn't have to go fight the Amalekites? What do you think it'd been good for David? I never had to fight. My goodness, God did this for Jehoshaphat. And the thing is it wasn't so much of how it was done. It was that they were obedient to the way that God wanted them to do it. And that's the key in that. And the thing is they joined the story. And I didn't really spend a lot of time on this last thought. But you wonder, why did God do it this way? Why? What was God's purpose? And the last verse of this little story here ends it this way. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29. Listen to this. This is very important. This really puts the whole battle, the whole issue into perspective. The fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Do you hear that? It's the same message. They realized that that's the one true God. And fear came upon them. Could have been a righteous fear. I don't know. But it says that they knew, they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. If you go over to Ezekiel 36:23, there's a bigger story. But anyway, at that point, you see there that they join the story. Now, here's today. I'm not bad. That's not a bad intro. All right. So let's talk about three things today. We're going to go in here and talk about the process of revealing his victory. Today, I want to share with you that we are being changed from valley to valley or from glory to glory. We are being changed. And I forgot to put this graph up, but in my mind's eye, I think about struggles and valleys and high places. We can have a high place mentality in the middle of the valley. We can have a mountaintop mentality in the middle of a valley. Does that make sense? We can have a victorious mentality in the middle of a valley. But that takes time. We just don't show up and play in the big leagues. There is a process that God is walking us through. And some may get there faster than others. But we are being changed from glory to glory or from valley to valley. Let's look at the first one. We are all in the process of growth. We are all in the process of growth. I put this one verse up there, and then we're going to turn to the next two. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in just a second. But Paul, writing there to the church at Corinth, says this, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory." Now, let's just talk about that. With unveiled faces. Christ Jesus has given us the ability to step before the Father with an unveiled face, to boldly step before him. Yet we stand there before him, contemplating his glory. And he says this, "We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image, the image of Christ, with ever-increasing glory." Or if you have the New King James, it may say, "from glory to glory," which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, that phrase, "from glory to glory," it's in these valleys. It's in these tough times. Remember that we have revelation and growth. We can. And we see God's glory. We see his mighty power. And we give him glory. And that's what he's talking about. From glory to glory, from valley to valley, we're knowing more about him. Hey, you too. We learn more about him. And we learn way more about ourselves. And it should look like this. I wish I had a graph. I wish I had a dry erase board. We start right here. And we know that God wants to move us to this, to the image of Christ. And why is that important? Because it's Christ is the answer to the world. Christ is the answer to our problem. Christ is all that we have our hope in. It's in Christ that we have our very being. And so I don't want to be seen. Paul said, if I live, it's Christ. It's a big paraphrase. But if I live, you're going to see Christ. So we start here at that moment of salvation. And before that, we were up and down, just valley after valley after valley, but it was way down here. And then we gave our life to Christ. We come to the meeting ground of the cross. We say, "Come, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins." And that's where we start. And his Holy Spirit comes within us, and we start walking it out. He works it in us, and we work it out through fear and trembling. That's in Philippians chapter 1. And what happens is we want to get there, but we have valleys. And the ultimate thing is the valley here, if we're really maturing and we're really changing from glory to glory, the valley here, or I'll put it this way, the valley that's here should never be as low as the valley that's there if we're walking in victory from glory to glory. Does that make sense? It's like this. This is the line in each one of those. So if I'm here and this is my valley, the low, and it comes back up, the next one shouldn't be that low if I've learned what I needed to learn in the last valley. That's what Paul's talking about. From glory to glory, I'm being changed. Into what? Into his image. But here's the thing. God may be merciful and just say, "You know what? You've had enough of that valley. I'm going to move you over here. You didn't learn anything." Israel had to walk around a mountain for 40 years. They weren't lost. God led them. And that was a big lesson to learn, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That was the lesson. And it took them 40 years for another generation to raise up. We are in this process of growth. The question is what stops us from growing? Most of the time, it's because we don't have the right perspective in the valley. We try to do it ourselves, or we get a little bit of God and work it out, or we just kind of plaster over it. No, God wants to do a complete work within us because he's in the process of changing us into the image of his Son. So we need that divine revelation. We need to grow in those things. And we're being transformed into his image. Let's go look at the second one. Part of we're being changed from glory to glory. We are all in a process of growth that reveals God's love, his strength, and his power. Now I want you to turn here with me in Philippians. I had a hardest time deciding where to cut this one. I could have just taught the whole book of Philippians. And I thought, wait a minute, didn't we just do that? Not long ago, starting verse number 12. I could really jump up and talk about this. Let me just frame it this way. Paul has already told them up in verse number 2, you are partners in the gospel. He's already told them that. Y'all have received Christ, and since, and he say y'all, he's not from southern part of Israel. He said, ever since you heard the gospel, you've become partners in sharing it. And that's up there around verse number 4. And then he uses this phrase to them, and he who began a good work within you will be faithful to complete it. What is the good work? You're being changed from glory to glory, from problem to problem, from challenge to challenge, from valley to valley. And then he gets down here, and he kind of puts it and frames it into his own life. He says this, verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, now let's just stop and think about this. What has happened to Paul? Since he decided to be this great apostle of Christ, everything's going just perfect, isn't it? Everybody go, wrong answer. That joy is that boy's getting his boo-honey whooped. He is going through it. He's been thrown into prison. He's getting beat. He's lied about. Everything in the world that you could imagine has happened in Paul's life. Matter of fact, when he's writing this letter, he is in chains. And he says, hey, look, it's not about me. He says this, I want you to know, brother, said, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Doesn't that sound like Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where Joseph says, hey, what you intended for harm, God intended it for good to save his people? That is the divine perspective. For sure, that is really good. Oh, I just want to teach this whole chapter. I just can't. But I'll say this. Let me find this one verse. I was just reading it during worship services. Go over to chapter 4. Look at verse number 9. I'm telling you, this word is just like hot off the press. It's just been stirred in my heart. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me. Now, what did he just tell them? Whatever you've heard from me. He just told them right over here. He said, all this has happened to me, you know, all of it, and they all know how bad it is, has really served to advance the gospel. And then he says over here, whatever you've heard, whatever you've learned, whatever you received from me or seen in me, put it into practice. He's calling them to have the same perspective. Put it into practice, and God will give you peace. Now, with that said, now with that context, look at verse 13. Everybody know what that verse says? Verse 13. With that perspective, in the middle of a valley, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do what things? What things? I can have the right perspective. I can have the right heart. I can have the divine purpose of God. I can reveal his glory. I can reveal my hope that's in Christ Jesus in the middle of cancer. I can reveal my hope that's in Christ Jesus in the middle of everything that comes my way. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because he strengthens us by his power. He strengthens us by his word. He strengthens us with the love of the body of Christ, which is very important. Do not discount that. That's in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Church is not something that we just come to. It's the body of Christ. It's who we are. And we have a God-given, anointed call to join the story and be a part of the blessing of God. We are all in that process of growth that reveals God's love, his strength, and his power. I can do all valleys. I can have the right perspective through all valleys because Christ has changed my mind. He has changed my heart, and now I can join the story and reveal, I trust God in this. I'm asking God to heal me. I'm asking God to deliver me. I'm asking God to help me, but what you're going to see in the process, you're going to see Christ. That's what this whole thing's about. Now, let's look at the third thing. Y'all hear me? You got me? We're still being changed. Listen, verse number 3, do not lose heart. So let's look at this last passage today over in 2 Corinthians. Do not lose heart, for God is at work in us and through us. Let's look at the last passage. I know I've got you all over the place today, but some of you would know that's how my mind is, right? All right, let's pick it right up here. I could read this whole chapter, but I'm gonna pick it up right here in verse number 7 for the sake of time. With this idea, God is at work in us and God is at work through us. We have this gospel message, this truth, this living hope within us. Amen? As a child of God, you have the living hope of Christ within you. With that mindset, verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves. Now, how in the world are we going to show that when everything's just looking hunky-dory like everybody else is going through, like everything's just perfect? If God were going to choose a time for his all-surpassing power to be revealed, where's the best place to do it? Whenever we're like, everything's hunky-dory, the world's not looking for that, but you find somebody in a cancer ward who's got cancer, and they see you, and you're going through whatever, and they go, whoa, there's something different about that person. Somebody's going through marital problems, and you get there, and they see you going through some stuff. I mean, you know, everybody knows your business, right? You having problems with your kids or some issues on the job place. Where else should God show up? I'm telling you, it's in the valleys that he does his best work in us. Amen. It really is. I wish it wasn't that way. I really don't. I don't sign up for this stuff. But I'm just telling you, I see it all through the scriptures. He does his best work. He reveals his all-surpassing power, the best in our valleys. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not our own. And then he goes on and puts it in perspective. I mean, he says this. We are hard-pressed on every side. He's painting this picture of a valley, but with this mindset, God's power is being revealed. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. That's important. So that the life, the resurrection of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Our starting point and our end point are revealed. The cross and the resurrection are revealed in our life. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Why? So that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Wow. Are you catching this? This is powerful. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Life, the life of Christ is at work. The power of the Holy Spirit with God's divine purpose is at work in the middle of our valleys. And everybody should be jumping and shouting, but I can't believe y'all are just sitting still. Wow. Oh my goodness. So let's jump down. Verse number 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, anytime you see a phrase in scripture twice, what did Jesus say? Over in Matthew 16, what did he say right there? Oh, excuse me, John 16. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. Now, what's Paul saying right here? He says it right here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Now, he said that twice. He said it over there in verse 1 also. We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Wow. I'm changing from glory to glory. On the outside, he may be going, boy, that joker's fat. He's getting uglier every day, and his hair is falling out. What in the world? My body, look at Robbie. Robbie's like, that's me. All this is falling apart, but this inside is changing from glory to glory. It is being renewed every day. It is growing stronger. I am looking more like Jesus every day. And so should you. If we have the right perspective in the valleys, that's where God does the greatest work. That's our greatest revelation and growth is in those hard places. I'm not saying that you can't get it when you're not in the valley, but I'm just telling you, most people find themselves open for training and learning in the valleys, much better than when everything's going hunky-dory. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Far outweighs all the valleys. Did you hear that? So, he said, this is what I do. And this is what he tell him. So, we fix our eyes on what is not seen, but on what is, So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is unseen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Listen to me, those who walk in the valley, don't lose heart. God's with you. The hard part is trusting him in it. What happens so many times, we lose heart because we have the wrong perspective. We think this thing's about us. And look, you're a king's kid. I know God loves you. But the greatest thing that God wants to do in your life is not heal you, but reveal his love to you. And reveal his love to the lost and dying world through you. Through you. For we are sure of this. We know this. That all things work together for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Don't lose heart. So let's finish it up with this. Valleys can bring despair and fear, and it's true. They do. They have whoop us. But may we be like the psalmist David. You know the Psalms. Where did David come up with this idea that I will fear no evil? It's because David had walked through many valleys of despair, and God had been faithful. And he learned that. There was this revelation of God's mighty hand upon him and God's deliverance from the enemy, God's deliverance from the valley. And David grew. And if you study David's life, you'll see him being transformed from glory to glory, from valley to valley. And then by the time he pens this, he says, I will fear no evil with great confidence through experience, for you are with me. That's the right perspective. So I'm asking you today, join with me. Ask God to help you have the right perspective. Ask God for his strength and that renewing in your spirit. Amen.